increasingly you meet people who say, well, I don't know about you, but I don't believe in God. And when we think about the way that God is thought about or spoken about, if he is at all in our society, the way that God is spoken about is often that God is somewhere else. He lives up in the clouds, up in the sky. He looks down upon us in a really judgmental kind of way. If he interacts occasionally with miracles, well and good. And of course, what God ultimately is about is sending bad people to hell, and he will invite those who have done good to spend eternity with him in heaven. Is that the kind of sense? Is that the way that you would imagine God, the way that most people you might know would think about God? This God who is utterly other, somewhat distant, the God who created the world maybe, but he's basically just left us in charge to do things as we will, as we continue in life now. The problem with that kind of God, though, is that the God is, in the end, kind of impotent, useless, worthless. He's away from us. He's not involved in our daily lives. But when we see in Jesus this call to be God, this invitation to be God, it's from a different point of view entirely to that modern understanding, that deist, if you like, understanding of God. The way the people in the first century, the way that Jewish people continue to understand God is of God as in terms of this monotheism. This God who is utterly other, yes, but a God who is with us in terms of creation and covenant. These two ideas, the God who created everything, the heavens and the earth, and who then revealed himself and began to speak and communicate with us through his law, through covenant. And so God is not this distant idea. God is part of our lived reality. God is here in our daily lives. God is part of all of this. God has these different ideas, these different senses. There's the God of creation, the God that we read about in the first chapter of Genesis, the Spirit of God who hovered over the waters. But the God who was creative. God's word spoke and creation occurred. The God who began to reveal himself in the laws and who gave the Torah or the law for a people to guide their lives, to provide instruction and direction, to provide the parameters within which they were able to live their lives. A God who was also revealed in his beauty, in his glory. That's a word in the Hebrew that's called the Shekinah. The God who is just absolutely gorgeous and glorious. The God who was present for the people of God in the pillar of fire. The God who was then later able to be present in the tabernacle and in the temple. The God who could be worshipped. The God who was present there among his people. And finally, the Jews had this sense of a feminine understanding of God, the God of wisdom, the way that Sophia, this sense of the beauty and the creativity of God, the wonder and the beauty of all of that. So the Jewish people didn't imagine God was somewhere else, somewhere distant. They didn't think that God was part of the world, but this dynamic kind of dance began to unfold within the way that they understood creation, the way they understood the worship of God, that God was dynamically other and yet present. He was sovereign and yet compassionate. He was the lover who showed his love and received that love. The God who was part of the world, wanted to be experienced in the world, but a God who was at the same time utterly holy, a God who was worthy to be worshipped. That is the Christian understanding of God as well. When we gather around the scene of the manger, when we see in this small child born for us this day, that is the sense that the early church began to understand the way in which Jesus was also God. Not a God who was distant and other and just useless and worthless, but a God who was dynamically part of the story that the people of God told about themselves. The God who heard their cry, the God who rescued them from slavery, the God who provided the law, the God who gave them a land to dwell in, a God who was there constantly, able to be experienced in worship. That is the God that we're invited to meet and to worship in every time we gather for the Eucharist. A God who is love, a God who longs to be in relationship with us. This Christmas, if the God you believe in or the God you don't believe in is just this God who is distant and other, then join the true Christian tradition that says, I don't believe in that God either. But the God that we meet in Jesus, the God that revealed himself in the baby born in Bethlehem, is a God who's worthy to be worshipped, a God who is part of our lives, part of our experience, and longs to be in that relationship dynamically with us. So let's join tonight in the worship of that one true God.